Sky Blue Stories is recorded at the Hills Podcast Studio at the Bella Vista Hotel.
I'm here with Adrian Benoza, who's the founder and CEO of Arrow Sport, who sponsors Sky Blue Stories. Adrian, tell us a little bit about Arrow Sport.
Well, this is a company made for those by someone who loves the game, for people who do love the game. And so, you know, we specialize in creating the best looking jerseys on the field with the best materials and at the best prices. So it's really a win-win sort of situation here. And so we're here to, you know, make you look good, feel good, and, you know, don't sting your wallet too much.
Absolutely. And people can submit some designs. You're completely open to their own input into the designs?
100%. I actually encourage it. So we have our own templates on our website, which you can see on our gallery. But if you have a design that you're looking to print out for yourself, you know, bring your own vision to life, you're more than welcome to let me know and we can go from there.
Brilliant. And it's a wonderful partnership that we've got going between Sky Blue Stories and Arrow Sport. Adrian, where can we find all the best information on Arrow Sport?
A couple of ways. You can either go through our socials at Arrow Sport AU. You can either then go to www.arrowsport.com.au. That will have all of our details. Or you can just email me directly at info@arrowsport.com.au.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, excited.
Thank you so much, and thanks for saying I'm your favorite player.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for having me on. Hey, guys. How are you going?
No problems at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. It's a nice introduction.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
A good laugh, a good chat. So I enjoyed it. Thanks, boys.
G'day, welcome back to Sky Blue Stories for another week. Not a very successful one for the A-League boys, or the W-League team for that matter, but we're hoping this week ahead proves a little bit more successful. It was a loss in the NPL as well, so all in all, Sydney took 2 points from a possible 4 games, which was not great. We've had some 9-point weekends recently, but in terms of on the pitch results in the last 7 days, it's not been a memorable one, gents. Welcome to the pod, nonetheless.
Not been very fruitful.
It's not. We will obviously go through all of that a little bit later on, as we usually do. Jimmy, how are you feeling, my friend?
Well. Yes. Good to be present.
Yes,
yep. And enjoy your presence.
We're very glad that you
don't lie for the viewers.
Did you bring me a
listeners?
Did you bring me a present?
It's in my anyway.
This is his company.
I'll take it. I'll take it. It's good to have the
anything
band.
To feel loved.
Exactly. It's good to have the band back together.
I'm fine, thanks too.
Despite the week. Oh yeah, you know you're always
yeah,
fine.
Just sure. Part of the family. Most racked up appearances on this pod, so yeah, just part of the furniture, right. And the glue.
I thought that was a drug reference, to be honest.
Still need to take out a knee so I can catch up those appearances.
Good luck.
My left one. All in all, like I said, we'll go through the matches and we'll do Middleby Lane. And we also had, gents, we've got a chat with W League superstar Natalie Tobin coming up as well.
The old horse.
The old dog. The
old
dog. Yeah. That'll make more sense.
I mean that affectionately.
Nat was kind enough to give us some of her time earlier in the evening as she prepares, her and the girls prepare for a premiership decider, which we didn't think it would come down to this, but it has.
Just kneecap Lisa Devanna.
Yeah. So it will be...
I don't condone violence on women.
It'll be an interesting evening on Wednesday for those that are listening to this straight away. Let's get into the pod. Sean.
Yo.
Around the grounds. So
around the grounds. Came across a very interesting article. What is Sydney's best midfield partnership?
Oh God, easy.
Well, I think...
Do we need an article for that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, apparently it does. Jack George on Jack. The Inner Sanctum.
Yeah, good kid.
He says it very diplomatically, with Sydney FC's unique formation in both attack and defence. But long story short, Bratton is without a doubt our stalwart, linchpin. In that center midfield, I should say, and it basically goes on to say, like, who best partners him.
Mm-mm. Korica, is that the tone of the article?
That's the tone, yep. That's the main theme. Korica loves Retre.
I love Paolo too.
There's a few interesting replies to his social media posts about how many appearances he's had of late. But it begs the question, and we'll get it into it into the review, is
we do.
Where's Callum?
Where is he?
I know it's where's Wally, but where's Callum?
Where's
the Hoff? So, but also Caceres can drop in there as well.
I'm really not liking the whole not bringing Nieuwenhoff on, bringing Baumjohan on and dropping Caceres
back in.
No, Steve. No.
No. Poor move.
Stop it. Mm. Bad Steve.
Bad Steve. I just think the formation's wrong anyway, but I digress. It's a very interesting article, but some of that change that we see in the midfield with Braddon and Retre and then once upon a time with the Hoff came through rotation, and we've seen quite a few midweek games of late, and there will be a few more to come as well. And I would have thought, looking ahead, you know, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, will Callum find some time in the midfield, I would have said, yeah, sure, we've got midweek games coming along and rotate. Braddon will be that linchpin, like John has said.
Especially after such a dramatic and impressive debut.
Oh, he destroyed in the APL, ACL. He was brilliant. All four games. He was absolutely...
And then early in the season as well.
So I don't know why he's fallen out of favour.
What was Jack's conclusion, Sean? Did he make a statement, or was it more presenting stats?
Well, I'll finish off what it says. Is we've been blessed with three quality midfielders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the number of games in the next few months we'll see rotation in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
However, when the schedule resumes to normal, Corica may find himself with a headache deciding which two players should sit at the base. I don't think there's much of a headache for Bimby. I think it's Retre and Braddon, and you'll only see rotation at the moment if one's injured, one's got the five-card suspension or something like that.
I don't know what Jimmy's thoughts on this are, because I know he's a huge Callum fan, but when we're not the results the last couple of games, yes, we had a couple of wins, but the last couple of games have not gone our way, and I think we've lost the battle of the midfield.
Mm. Braddon's been a little bit off the last couple of weeks.
He has as well, yeah.
And which is saying a lot because we love the fella.
But is it off, or is it just not?
A little off.
Yeah, but
I feel like he's...
If you consider Braddon's off to perhaps another player's or another type of midfielder's off, he's still performing at a high level.
The difference between his best and worst game is minuscule.
Yeah,
But
he's been out-muscled a couple of times. Yeah, he's turned the ball over. I don't know if it was I want to say it was the Adelaide game, but yeah, just not doing Bratton things, not doing the things that he usually does so well.
Maybe he's working too hard in the middle because he feels like he may have to compensate a little bit, you know, make up for.
Possibly, but that's why I think Callum and Bratz complement each other, you know, obviously differently to what Paolo and Bratz do. Yeah, we'll get into it when we talk about the games. But
and the next thing that came across my eyes, Dan the Man,
your
best mate, joined at the hip.
Yeah,
Danny.
What's Danny doing? He's always doing something.
So another gig, and he said he may or may not be getting paid for this, unfortunately. Two jobs, one pay. But the future of the professional game in Australia, one-on-one, with the Sydney FC CEO and APL managing director, Danny Townsend. And John, you probably know a bit more about his role as the APL managing director?
I don't know if I know a little bit more. I can give some context. So he obviously was acting in a commercial partnerships role, and his job was to secure commercial partnerships for the Premier League, for the A-League coming up. He had a big hand in the Bunnings deal, big hand in a couple of the other ones that have come along. So it was about getting people in place for the APL, but also some deals in place and having those secured in the short term. What that's turned into is that, yeah, he's become the managing director of the APL whilst the board members have been assigned, which they have. It's an independent board, obviously. And, yeah, they've made some pretty high...
Class
appointments. Yeah, appointments. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Highbrow appointments. Yeah,
in the digital space, in the marketing space, a couple of his mates from Repucom.
Are we talking in terms of these appointments, individuals or
individuals,
agencies?
Individuals. Okay. Yeah, individuals to lead forward that APL model.
Does this dual position become untenable for him?
He's been asked that a couple of times with some interviews and things. He's basically said he certainly hopes not, but he's also said he's doing two jobs for one paycheck. So it's, you know, he's double handling everything. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is obviously there's going to be bias there. So
as much as you say there isn't.
Exactly.
The perception.
Exactly. So I hope not. I don't think it would be untenable. As everyone that listens to this, we are pretty big fans of Danny. And, you know, he's a very, very intelligent and smart operator. And if there were higher honours available, I think he's definitely, you know, one of those key people.
And if he had to make a choice?
He'd choose us, of course.
Mm. You reckon?
I wouldn't. You'd have wouldn't to ask. We'd have to ask the man.
But the grab I saw
if you had
of
to speculate.
It,
I think he's still got work to do for Sydney FC.
Yeah, the grab I saw of that particular article was the bit he talked about with the one of the unique identifiers being the active support and how that will be prioritised. Talked about bringing it back to the levels of the golden years of the A League, which I think will help once the stadium is built and we can get back into the SFS there. And he talked about it, said when he brings mates of mine who are rugby league guys or rugby union, I don't know if there's any rugby union guys even left, along to a Sydney FC game, they are blown away by the atmosphere that is created by active supporters. And that's something we've mentioned on the pod before and just how unique that is to our game.
Yep.
Unless you're an AFL fan, Gregory.
Yeah, oh gosh. He was disgraceful with that chat on over there.
Yeah, context for those listeners at home is a friend of ours in the footballing group chat went to a Sydney Swans game and was waxing lyrical about it and espoused the death of the A-League, to which we say, go back to your bath, Gregory. Chris has the baths. But have a bath, Gregory, and take the hairdryer with you.
I believe he was incredibly drunk, which is probably the only way you can see
with
through
Scottish
an AFL game.
Is he ever not?
True.
Yeah.
True.
So anyway.
Since Rangers won, he's changed, that guy.
Who?
Yeah, cocky little mum. Mungrel is what I meant to say. What else we got, Sean?
A bit of club business, a few milestones.
I've got socials.
Oh, you want to go to socials?
I'll
allow it.
Very quickly. Very quickly.
my segment.
10 years since the Socceroos came back to defeat the world champions Germany 2-1 in a friendly match.
Yep.
5, soon to be, Sydney FC players were in the starting lineup for the Socceroos that day.
Which 5 were they, Jonathan?
ABJ.
You tell
ABJ.
So not only were the
double agent.
Not only were the 2 goal scorers
very good
Sydney FC players.
Yep.
But there were 5 out of the 11 starting lineup. Can you guys name any of them?
No, I'm
the
not
current lineup.
No.
Kings.
They've played for Sydney FC. Or did go on to play.
So they're not currently in the team.
No, Sean. Okay. 10 years ago.
Jesus.
Give me some.
Carney.
Yes. Scored the first goal.
Yep. Is Mijajewski see Australia? No.
He's Polish.
Yarrow.
Jesus.
And in China.
So the players were...
Dave Carney, Emerton.
Yes.
Luke Wilshere.
Yes, second goal scorer.
I want to say Brosk, but I'm not going to say Brosk.
Next two are a bit tougher.
Okay, I won't say Brosk.
Well done, steak.
Oh,
he just had.
Not Nicky Carr.
No. Another defender. Actually, 2 more defenders.
Oh, defenders.
Wilco.
No, good guess though.
Sasha?
Yes.
Baron Cohen?
Sasha
Baron Cohen.
No.
Ognovsky.
Sasha Ognovsky.
And Socceroos captain. Socceroos captain before Miller. We lay yet
another.
Mark? No. Jesus. Lucas. Give me another. No.
Lucas name?
Correct, James. Oh. You got there, boys.
Yeah.
So the back line included.
I still haven't
Neil,
forgiven him.
Ognovsky, Wilshere. And I think Emerton, and I think Carney was playing in the midfield that game. But 5 out of that's a good stat. That's
very good.
Philip Lahm days might have been.
Lahm could have been. I know Podolski was
Schweinsteiger.
I think Muller was Schweinsteiger. I saw him there. Yeah, it was a pretty good team.
Jürgen Klinsmann.
Only a few months after Germany spanked us in the World Cup. So
good times.
Anyway,
nice. What club and squad business news did you have for us?
Some little milestones. We all know that Wilco racked up his 150th appearance against Perth last week.
Yep.
Now on to 151. Retre, Paolo, 100 Sky Blue appearances.
And what I love about this is Rowdy tweeted it before the club.
They go to him for their stats.
So thank you, Rowdy, for your commitment to the other great stats.
I wanted to mention last week, but I just forgot and ran out of time, was she would have had it if she had had the big blue the other week, but it's been like about nearly 3 weeks by the time the girls play tomorrow night.
Mm.
That Teresa, that Polias, should go equal eighth for all-time senior competitive appearances. That includes men and women. Mm-hmm. With 142 level with the one and only Clint Bolton.
It's pretty
so funny. That's a huge thing to be able to be up in that top 10. And, you know, the women's season is like you blink and it's gone. So it's incredible for the one and only Teresa Polias. And the that's it. So done. Squad.
There you go.
Club business done. Socials done.
Very nice.
Now it's a special time.
Is it?
Still working on an intro.
So just, I think the segment has to go on this as a new intro. just saying.
Is this is that an excuse because you have nothing lined up for a trip down Middlebury Lane?
No, Sean. I must say, Sean assisted this week.
Yeah, it's pro bono.
Thank you, Sean.
This time,
I just turned. That's good,
DJ.
It's great.
I'm depressed.
Trip down Middlebury Lane this week in Sky Blue history. David Zrilich becomes Sydney FC's first full international and scored a goal as well in Australia's 3-0 win over Indonesia.
The arch nemesis.
Yeah. That was 16 years ago. Carol Kissel.
Carol. I know you got a little semi when you said that.
Such a good human being. Slovak international signed with Sydney FC on this week 12 years ago. It seems like a long time ago. Obviously, Kissel came across with Mr. Lavishka, played under him at Slovan Liberec and Sparta Prague. And then I think later as well, after his time at Sydney FC with Vitja as well. So I think we've all heard Jonathan talk about how much he loves Carol Kissel. So.
Surprised your first child's not called Carol.
Didn't get past
Val.
Yeah, it was close. What else happened this week in Sky Blue history, Sean? Any good games you picked out for me?
Some memorable games that I clicked on. That I found. Thank you, Sydney FC Stats, for it. The first one was us playing the Victory in a, what was it, a 1-1 draw. Joel Chianese scoring first and then James Troisi down there at Amy Park. Melbourne Rectangular Stadium. That's in there. Thank you, Rowdy. The other one was a couple of ACL games, but I'll get to another one. Melbourne City, 3-0 thumping. And it stood out for me, other than it being during this week, back in 2017, on the 1st of April. 16-17 season. Broski and then Bobo with a double. Yeah, in the 63rd and 91st minute. And hope we see more of that from the Brazilian.
That would be nice.
We had a Perth Glory game on the 29th of March back in 2018. And it was a...
That's the one they came back and scared the bejesus.
Do you remember what the score was?
I think we were like cruising at 3-0.
Yes.
And
12th minute, 29th minute, 39th minute.
And I think Taggart got a brace.
Bingo. 72nd.
One might have been... Or 89, I was going to say one might have been an injury time. Mm. Yeah, that was a scary game, time.
And Bobo getting the double, and there was an ACL game that came across Suwon Samsung Blue Wings FC, AFC
have a pretty good record
champion,
against
3rd of April back in 2018.
You get a win on that one?
Yeah. Do you remember what the score was?
No.
A little bit of quick trivia.
2018 was it? Home or away?
Away.
4-0.
Close. 4-1. Some names we might have heard before. Milos. Yeah.
Milos, Bobo.
Bobo and bearded beautiful.
Broski.
Yeah.
It's a decent lineup of goal scorers.
I do like Brosk.
Mm.
I do like
He's him. Okay.
And then we've also got some birthdays, Jonathan.
A lot of birthdays, probably most notable. The Sash, the Og Monster, who we mentioned earlier. That's a good segue from that. Big Sasha will be 42. Wow. 42 years old. Ian Fyfe, one of the mainstays of Sydney FC's first 5 or 6 seasons, will be 39. Last I saw, I think he was still going around.
What was he doing coaching-wise? He was at Wanderers. And he
Fyfe?
Before Babel came?
Was he? I think he was still playing for Campbelltown City in the SA.
I might be thinking of someone. Oh, do you know what I'm thinking of?
Who are you thinking of?
Aiden Fox.
Oh, yes. No.
F names.
Very different. But yeah, I think that's all we have in trip down Middleby Lane.
Beautiful.
So let's talk about the NPL because that sucks.
That's James. What happened in the NPL this week, mate?
I believe you predicted this.
Oh, this one?
You were telling me you predicted it.
Oh, the NPL? No, I predicted the other.
W League.
Yeah.
Right. The other. So 2-1 loss, down 1-0, 10 minutes to go. Fong in the 84th.
Our lone scorer, yeah.
Great goal.
It was a great goal, one of our defenders.
Sydney Olympic.
The Greeks.
The Greeks in their Xanthi.
Yeah. Away trip.
Xanthi
yeah.
FC away trip.
That's it. Yeah, Xanthi's doing well. How well are they doing these days? They got a coach yet?
Yeah, they're hanging around the top three, I think.
Okay. They were up 2-0 and then we got a very late consolation goal. It might have made the last 5 or so minutes a little bit nervy. But look, Olympic are a very good side. They should be top 5 come the end of the season. They're great doing lineup. Better than what their current results and performance and where they're sitting on the table suggests.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a game where it's definitely, we've said this before with the NPL, when it's boys against men.
Yeah.
And Sydney Olympic are a very, you know, men's side.
Former Sky Blue, Ben Van Meer scored one of the goals. Sean,
That's right.
And, they've got quite a few good former A-League players. Adam Parkhouse, Fabio Ferreira wasn't playing, but he's in that squad.
Jason Madonis.
He's a great player.
He's
someone that could have had, you know, bit of a chance in the A-League.
I wonder if he ever got a sniff. Brendan Chalaki in there in the middle as well. And I always wondered, you know, got Tom Whiteside there at the back, but he's also a
former trialist at Sydney FC.
Former trialist, but he also does work with our W League girls as a assistant coach.
Yeah, okay.
So I always kind of remember watching a W League game the other week, maybe when they were playing Canberra.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I wonder how he divides up his time with Olympic and his W League commitments if they've got a game on the weekend. Anyway.
Doing his badges.
I digress. No Callan Talbot, as he was used with an unused sub with us over the weekend.
We're still in pretty good shape, though. Still in pretty good shape.
Fourth or fifth.
Yep.
Yeah. So, look, we'll take our lessons from it. We'll take our medicine and move ahead to Manly, which will be
another tough game.
They beat Apia 2-1.
Yep, that'll be another tough game.
Yeah.
But, we spoke at length about the NPL last week and hope everyone enjoyed that. The boys are doing well.
Now,
let's talk.
We've got to take our mind back to almost a week ago.
Do we have to?
We do.
You know what? Yeah, let's talk about it. I was going to say, let's just skip the whole thing.
It's almost a little bit of a distant memory now.
Should we just preview next week?
Yeah. Moving on. Perth Glory 1, Sydney FC 1.
Ouch.
It was one of those games in that first half where, you know, you might be chatting to your mates and you think to yourself, look at this, this is how it's going to pan out. We'll have 20 chances and then they get one and they score. And it literally
don't want you to sound grab me from last pod.
But
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I said.
Yeah. We'll pull up the audio.
And that we would draw.
Yeah.
I was also drinking whilst watching this game. You may have
noticed. Oh, you were.
I don't think, did you say
you're
run
an angry
out of beer?
Boy.
I got angrier at halftime and drank more.
How are the dogs?
I kicked them a couple of times. Yeah, they deserved it.
That was a classic prank phone call.
Kick my dog?
What? Yeah.
Is that the one? You kick my dog?
That is from the vault.
You come to my house, you kick my dog.
Yeah.
Why did you do it?
What? I don't know. The only happy thing about that game was reminiscing about you come to my house and kick my dog. Very frustrating. Very frustrating watch.
We should have been up 3 or 4 at halftime.
And yet again, whenever we play an opposition team, the goalkeeper has a blinder.
Oh, did he ever, Liam and Reddy?
Liam Reddy always has blinders against us, except grand finals.
I was going to say the semi-final. He had to make up for the semi-final last year. Sean, take us through some of the chances.
Well, there was no Costa. He got pulled out at the last minute.
That's right. Congratulations, Costa. Yes, another little girl.
Retro got another start up front. Some of those chances in the first half were just Reddy just pulling it out of his locker. Yeah. Great save. Some of the others could have been better finished. And we've talked about at length. Twitter has gone nuts and the socials about our finishing ability. Mm. All first started off in the eighth minute when Luke had a nice header from a nice little lob cutback that Grant got just before I went over the byline. Jono, I thought it was a good... Like, he did quite well with what he was given.
Got to finish those.
But you reckon he should have finished that.
Got to finish that header.
But Reddy jumped far to his right and you still think...
He's got to put it into a corner.
Lewandowski would finish it.
Don't you just got to put it into a corner?
He's injured now, apparently.
I was pretty critical of Luke Ivanovic on the night. Yeah. And you guys know, again, I'm a big fan,
forgiving for that shot on target. He's the one a few later that I was more shitty about,
That he went low and directed Reddy, and Reddy just got it on the chest and picked it up.
He should have scored that one.
Yeah, that's a chip, that's a dink around the side. That was point blank, but with enough breathing room to be able to do something with it. And I think with the Luke Ivanovic thing, it comes down to consistency of minutes. He gets either a starting berth or the last eight, right? And you're never going to see a player developed as highly touted as he is, whether it's Wood, Bahaja, Luke, whomever it is, you're never going to see them develop if they're getting such inconsistent minutes. Yeah,
and I personally don't think – I still don't know why he's starting ahead of Pat Wood.
Yeah, he's not an out-and-out striker.
He's a winger.
Yeah, look. Or maybe a number 10 kind of role.
He's got a hell of a lot of number 10s. He's got that versatility. He can play wide and cut in, which I think is the best spot for him, similar to Costa.
And when he's been brilliant, but
he's got the size.
Goal against Newcastle.
He's got the size and the pace where he can play in one of those top two roles, but I just don't think the combinations that Corrick is picking are working at the moment. And that's a general statement, but...
And which seems like it's going to end up that we're going to have a lot more George Blackwoods on our hands. And I don't mean that disparagingly. I mean,
don't care if you did. That's a pretty well summed up.
Outside of Joel King.
It's pretty well summed up.
And Harry van der Sarg. It's not really any... No. Oh, and kind of Callum, but that's, you know, despite circumstances, not because of them. We haven't really had any youth that have seriously impressed. You know,
one of the older teams on the club.
Joel has, Harry has, simply because they've had to play and there's been no other alternative.
Mm. Yep. So we should have been up, sucker punch.
Well, that Bobo chance in the 18th minute, he had that like falling scissor volley, and there you go, there's Reddy, just saving it point blank. But then the nice Ivanovic should have finished at the 20th minute when Caceres fed it in through him. Then we had Braddon shoot from long range. We had Ivanovic and another. Oh no, that was the 31st minute. And then Ninko danced his way into the box, pushed it centre, and Ninko saw. You know,
this is painful, Sean. Let's just sum it up by saying we should have been up four at halftime.
And then it got to the 43rd minute, and we had chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. And then Castro makes that run. Cuts it over across to Fornaroli at the far post, and he had the easier shots to put away there within the 6-yard box. Whose fault was that?
Probably Joel King.
He lost his man. It was all three of them: McGowan, Wilco, and Joel, and all looking at Bratton taking on and trying to get in front of Castro to block the shot, or block the cross, pass, whatever. And then Joel just went missing. So Joel, not happy, mate. And then we moved into the second half. What about the pen?
Joel just seems tired, just quickly.
Yeah, we've said that for a few weeks. He may just need a bit of a break, a bit of a spell. So come back, Michael Zillow. Bobo's pen, that was overturned.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
That was probably at the peak of my powers.
Rage.
And rage. But it wasn't because VARs ruined football. And so even when it was called, I didn't react at all because I was just waiting for something to...
Oh, and you'd run out of dogs. You've got three of them.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, they're all hiding in the backyard.
6 feet under.
They are actually at a farm at the moment. But anyway, I like I said, VARs ruined football. So I think there was a hand that was offside. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so despite the agricultural challenge from a very agricultural footballer who somehow has played over 200 A-League games, my God. Yeah, the penalty was obviously...
Because you can score with a hand.
Yeah.
How many commentators pass footballing Greg's, you know, Premier League one, and they said, just do the line from what can score a goal.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because we've seen armpits.
Just get rid of VAR. Right. I'm not saying it wasn't offside. I'm just saying just get rid of VAR. So, yeah, Osama Malik is a horrible footballer. But, yeah, that was gone. And finally, Sean.
Bobo had a chance with the header, got pushed wide again, but then come the 63rd minute. Opportunistic, and Bobo poaching goal, turning, hitting it, volleying it, well past, ready, finally, to get us that 1-1 and, you know, get us back to parity.
Retro, it was a good goal. It was a great finish.
Yeah, it was a great goal.
It was a great finish. And probably not, Bobo probably deserved it. He had a couple, like you said, Reddy denied him a couple of times. I thought Bobo had a pretty good game overall, actually, even despite the goal.
Lasting 90 minutes.
Yeah, and you know, it's something I was talking to someone about after the game, and, you know, Corica didn't buy Bobo to start and play 90 minutes every week.
But he's having to.
But he's having to.
Yeah, right? When he first came along, we all thought, he'll come on the 70th, 80th odd minute.
But that's not why Steve and Danny Townsend, that's not why they brought him to the club. They brought him to come on with a bit of experience, 75th minute, and pinch some goals. You know, the fact that he has to start is just, you know, he's doing a really good job. I'm not saying he's not. It's just not the role that we saw him playing.
No.
And he's not the Bobo of 2 years ago.
Of course he's not. You know, he's 37 or something, but he's still deadly.
Well, look
proven
how much
by
like,
that goal.
Yeah, but also, Sean's 36.
Yeah.
Look how much he's petered off in the last couple of years. Like, cognitively.
He hasn't reached his peak yet.
Let alone physically.
Physically, emotionally.
Yeah. Everything. Right? And you just magnify that to a professional level.
Downhill after 35.
I love you, Sean.
I said, true. The selections, I noticed you put a note in there, Sean, which we've sort of spoken about already, but the game was crying out for Callum Neuenhoff.
No.
Crying out for him to come on.
Hang on. Are you
stiffen
saying
up the midfield?
That we had more substitutions we could have used that we didn't use?
Look.
Under a Steve Corica coach team?
I have to go back and check.
Yeah.
But I think that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We only made two subs.
Yeah. I felt
and
like
we had a midweek game coming up, and we had a weekend game coming up.
Yes. I felt like as soon as we got to that 1-1, Steve was like, yeah, that'll do. I'll take 1 point away from home rather than going, right, let's put Callum on, let's go for the win. Let's push and try and get a second goal.
Both games.
Get some mongrel.
Yeah.
Both games have been crying out for a Neuenhoff
cameo.
Because he drives forward.
That's right.
He's got a goal or two in him. We saw what he did against Wollongong.
Yep.
Or Wollongong,
I don't
Wolves,
think.
Wellington Phoenix.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jimmy, you go.
No, it's all right.
I was going to say, I don't think Paolo's been terrible, but he's very side to side.
Yeah.
And going very side to side.
And I don't think Callum's defensively lazy, so it can't be that.
No. I honestly don't know what it is.
Yeah, it perplexes me. The other thing that perplexes me that it isn't on the run sheet is the constant 1 week absence of Michael Zalot.
We have covered this.
I know. I just want to raise it again. We still have, like, Jono, you've got an extensive phone book. Can you do some digging for us?
He'll be back. Yeah, he'll be back in the squad this week.
Slip into his DMs.
Seriously?
James.
How the hell do you know this?
Just speculating.
Oh, hang on. Are you or are you?
Well, he's been 1 week away, so he's got to be in this week, right?
Okay.
I've taken that.
Give
away,
me a wink if Trent, you know he'll be back in the squad this week, and I won't push it any further.
Trent Bahaja could be back also. He's got bone bruising.
Wink if you. Oh, well, there's some exclusives. Okay, so there's no use having your phone book.
I don't know what you're trying to get at. I don't have any inside information. I find my information online. Yeah. I read many journals and leather-bound books.
Message the tall bloke with the sandals and the sandy legs. Ask him to figure out what's going on. He knows who he is.
Jesus?
No, I think Zulo's very, 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 very close. Whether he's included in the weekend squad against the Victory or it's the midweek game against Perth at home, I think the Perth game's probably more likely. And Bahaja's got bone bruising, so that's sort of a week-to-week proposition at the moment.
That'd suck, having your bones bruised.
Yeah, it's not cool.
Like, how does a bone even get a bruise?
It was a training incident.
Who did it to him?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
You're smiling don't. Like you do.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Costa. I think it was a
That's training. Every time I say to you, did you do something and you weren't meant to have done it, but you did it anyway? It's the same smile. It's the same smile. Don't avoid the topic of conversation. Look at me, young man.
I gave Ryan Grant 3 votes for the Perth game.
I can't remember.
And I gave Bobo 3 votes. So I was very simple.
Yeah, that would mirror my own. What about yourself,
Do you remember
Sean?
What you did, Sean? It was a while ago.
Yep. Bobo 3. And
look at your notes. Look at your notes.
I don't write. I don't always. It's always up here. It's in my brain. Yeah. Despite it aging.
Which is why it takes so long.
Whilst Sean's thinking, make sure you go to sfcu.com forum and put your man of the match votes in
I'll
there.
I'll say 3 for Redders. He's back in a little bit of. I know it's a strange one.
Yeah.
Bear with me. I but do he's like in Andrew a little Redders. Bit of back. He's getting back into a bit of decent.
Good against
form.
Adelaide again.
Yeah, Adelaide too.
I do like Redders.
Speaking of Adelaide United. Adelaide United. 1-0 loss to Adelaide in the City of Churches on the weekend. Another very frustrating game. Ryan Grant was out. Harry van der Sar deputised for him and I thought did a pretty good job.
Yeah, did a pretty solid job.
Kept Craig Goodwin extremely quiet.
Yeah.
And Craig Goodwin's, you know, in very good form.
Bastard. I hate him because he's so good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I'd take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, any day of the week. Come, please.
But Harry van der Sar, I thought, did quite a
good
job.
That cramp and whatnot came off towards the end. Just not probably used to those
kind of
minutes.
He's had 2 minutes, I think, this year,
yeah.
Hasn't he?
Maybe in the little bit of humidity of Perth, of Adelaide
We tried. Costa back in the squad. Had quite a few one-on-one chances, got in behind. Summing up what I took from the game is that, and I think I may have tweeted this in the public forum, I actually thought Adelaide were a very good football side. The way that they moved the ball, scored goals, had deep runs into the box, that sort of thing.
I'd agree with that.
But then I watched this game, which was obviously the game I watched closer than any of those other ones, and they just bashed you.
They just seem, oh, Yengi. Yengi was.
They
Yengi?
Just, yeah, Yengi. They just shoulder charged, late tackles, stopped play, stopped any momentum. And it's exactly what the Victory used to do to us years ago and bullied us. And that's how they basically started getting results against us, is because they kept killing momentum.
Well, you know how you said exactly the other week Adelaide how did. You were shocked, like a week or two ago, you're shocked at how Wanderers second, like how they, like, just doesn't make sense. Adelaide are now second. It doesn't make sense. How they're sex. I know, but just watching them last week, you know, against us the other day against
they
us.
They lost 4 of their first 5 or something, you know, but they just bashed us and got away with it. I think Yengi's 6th or 7th foul until Sean Evans gave him a yellow card. You know, like, it's too many.
Yeah. I thought we played all right in the first half. I thought going in nil or at halftime was probably pretty fair. About how things turned out.
Yeah.
70th minute, Redders.
That was
man,
huge.
Man went big. Made himself massive. Halloran, the cross over to Goodwin. And then, you know, Redders just that fantastic point blank save.
Yeah.
Let's jump to the horrible 75th minute. The penalty. What was it?
I don't even know. I don't even know. I did see it. I do remember being upset by it. But the circumstances around it.
I was very upset.
I saw it exactly how you saw it.
I think, and someone pointed this out. It might have been Boise. It might have been Mr. Central Coast Mariners. Saying that Yenge actually got the ball, it looked like Bratton got the ball. That's what I was pissed off about, because I thought Bratton just went for a scoop, cleared the ball, and then Yenge stomps on him. But the replays, if you do watch it, it looks like Yenge may have actually touched the ball.
Yenge got to touch the ball first, but it sprayed off wide.
Yeah.
So he was never going to get it.
And came down on top of...
And so then Bratton, like you said, Bratton can't look behind, can't...
Yeah, okay.
So doesn't have eyes in the back of his head. And then Yenge's foot's come down on Bratton's ankle.
Scraped his shin. Yeah. Yeah.
So you said it looks like it.
I wasn't 100% sure.
And that's the thing. So I think that's the thing we've got to remember with some of these VAR things. Yeah. Is it has to be a clear and obvious error for it to be overruled by VAR.
That's right.
Which is Premier League rules, not the A-League rules. Mm. But the A-League rules, the VAR won't refer it unless it is a clear and obvious error. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So if it doesn't get referred, then...
So
nothing. So I think we can all thank Chris Beath, the shocking, shocking professional that he is, for that.
Yeah. Was he in the VAR box? Or
I don't know. I just blame Chris.
Just blame him in general? Yeah, good.
I haven't seen him.
No, we can blame Sean Evans because he was the ref on the field and he's equally as shit.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen Chris Beath on a field for a while, so whenever I watch, he seems to be in the VAR booth, to be honest.
Sean, what was he? Penn?
We tried. I don't think it was.
My bias on it wasn't. Probably taking the bias out, it probably was. I can understand why it was given.
We tried to come home with a little bit of a wet sail. We did press and try and push for an equalising goal. That nice little, I don't know who did it, a nice little chipping dink over to ABJ made that forward run angled into the box. I think he chested it down then,
He was just off to the left, but then,
I thought that was quite nice. Wood getting to the byline, cutting it back. Ninko, great run by Wood to get past his marker and cut it back to Ninko, only for it to be saved. For all the critics, including myself massively, I thought Costa had an all right game. I don't know.
Had a lot of chances.
Yeah.
None that were like sitters.
Yeah.
But then the cross. But a lot of his shots did go straight to the keeper.
But then the lovely cross he did for beautiful diving header. And I reckon any other day he does that, Paddy Wood, it goes in. But like you said, James, we seem to put keepers into form. And I've forgotten his name, the Adelaide keeper, Jono.
Gauchi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. One thing that did frustrate me watching the post game. Comments from Stevie was he said, "We're playing well. We're not. We're not playing well. If we were playing it well, we'd be having nil or draws. But we're conceding a goal every game, right? We don't have nil or draws. We concede a goal at least every game.
And we're not scoring goals.
And we're not scoring." which takes me to a tweet by Sky Blue Stories, pardon me, favourite son.
Oh.
Co-host, substitute extraordinaire, Brennan Slowey.
How is
Slow tweets, finishing will be the reason we are fifth or sixth this season. Decision to get let go of Alfie gets worse every week. Now, that bit I'm a little bit, I don't think we had much of a choice, to be fair.
Well, so much letting
him go. We needed
the
money.
Not much letting him go, but not getting an actual replacement.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think we had a choice letting Alfie go, but finishing will absolutely be the reason. Because, I mean, they can finish me off at the moment. It's just terrible.
No, they couldn't.
And I'm easy.
They couldn't. Again, plenty of chances. I don't know what else to say about that game.
SFC, you vote. Let's do it.
Can we just before we say that, why the hell no Callum again? It's three games in a row that he hasn't started. He hasn't got any minutes at all. Like, did he annoy? Is he been fined too much at training? Like,
who takes care of the fines now? ABJ, isn't it?
Yeah. No, Floddy.
Floddy, that's right. Should we also summarise our current annoyances with the club?
Summarise them?
Current?
Corica Tactics. Zulo out for 1 week.
Not even Corica Tactics. Callum. Just failure to change them.
Mm. Well, formation, tactics, and substitutions. Zulo out for 1 week perpetually. Yes. Costa Barbarousis and finishing.
Lack of W League Premier plate when we should have wrapped it up 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot.
SFCU votes, Jonathan. Who goes for you?
Ryan Effin McGowan.
Yep.
He had a boss. Fucking brilliant game.
What a fucking boss.
I love him.
I'll swear as well because
he's an Adelaide boy.
Screw FNR.
Oh.
He had some mates, I heard on the commentary, he had some mates in the crowd. And
he had some family there as well. His wife went down with their daughter.
He bloody owned Yenge all game.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he got pissed with Bratton giving the penalty away after he like kept him quiet all game?
That was a fuck up by King. Slash maybe Wilco, but more so King.
That's
twice by King in 2 weeks. I will give
five votes to Ryan McGowan and one to Harry van der Sarg. Four to McGowan, one to van der Sarg, one to Redmayne. Done.
That's exactly what I was going to do.
Yeah. Three-way tie. Very good.
Yep.
Done. W League, we spoke about a little bit with Nat Tobin a bit earlier on, which we'll tack on to the end of this pod, I think.
Yep.
So we won't cover that in any detail. The girls went down to Canberra and had a disappointing 0-0 draw, which means that against Melbourne Victory on Wednesday, for those listening by then, we obviously need to wrap that up with another draw.
Which is tomorrow. Wednesday or today, if you're visiting, listening 31st. To us on release day.
Visiting That's the right. pod.
Yep, 31st, kickoff 7:30, Cromer Park.
Big game.
Predicted lineup.
Free entry, I think.
Well.
Oh.
Yeah, so for those able, get out there. Midweek's not great, but it's a rescheduled game from the game that got washed out, a game that Sydney FC will also play against Melbourne Victory a bit later on, but we have the return leg of that match.
If they need at least a draw.
Yeah. So a W League and A League against Melbourne Victory this week. Let's talk about the A League very quickly. It's extremely disappointing, gents, that we didn't get to play the Victory a couple of weeks ago. It would have been the chance for 3 wins in a row. Instead, we got no game for 10 days and then had to fly to Perth, Adelaide and Melbourne.
Yeah.
So we're sort of a bit disappointed with some of those results, but had we won against the Victory, it could have given us some momentum for that for that a big away trip.
So speaking of Melbourne, Sunday the 4th of April, 7:05, down at Amy Park. Look, it goes without saying, Victory aren't travelling well at all under Brebner at the moment. They got a few injuries and they're playing like shit.
They got a draw against the top team last week.
Oh, they did, actually. Yes, you're right, against Central Coast. So a little bit plucky, I guess.
Got a lot of players out still.
Yeah.
Again, if we're going to be serious, we should win this quite easily. I don't know if we will. I think it's going to be scrappy as.
Do you reckon like, they'll bring us down to their level?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can't believe I'm going to say this. We're not playing too far above their level.
Mm.
Yeah, we're really not.
You know.
And rumours going around that they're, I think, looking to poach Talle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For their rebuild.
Talle, Popovic.
Which I'd be very upset about because I'd like him.
Yeah.
I would like Talle.
Well, I don't think Stevie's going anywhere.
No.
I like Uffie's mongrel.
How much longer left on Stevie's contract?
I don't know. He would have got a couple of years at least. After winning back-to-back comps. I don't think he's going anywhere, and nor should he. Nor should he, really, at the moment. If we keep losing...
He says with a qualifier.
If we keep losing games, then obviously it comes under pressure. But as I said, that game wasn't washed out. We lose momentum. We could be second, really. We're not. But we could have been.
Gosh, we'd have a different tone of voice. God, I wish I
got employed for my could have results at my place of work.
Well, it's out of his control.
No, it is. It is.
It's so out of his control. With the lineup, gents, we'll have Grant come back.
Yeah.
Across the four, we would love to see Zulu, but we know it won't happen. King, Bratton and Retro will be there. You'll see Ninko and probably Caceres. It's just what will probably be most interesting is like who will partner who up front. Be Costa Bobo, will be Costa Pat. Will Ivanovic get another start?
I think he'll do Costa Bobo.
I'd just think, can we see a Bobo Wood?
Well, he brought them on together.
Yeah.
He does bring them on together quite often.
A couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
And they did very, very well.
It was nice to watch.
Was that against Western United? Or
it was the one before Perth.
Mm. And maybe someone who's saying on Twitter, I think today, I don't know if it's Sky Blue Views, I'm probably not, but maybe Costa can't lead the front line with how he's been playing the last forever.
I've been saying that for 12 months.
Yeah, so maybe he can come on and be that impact player off the bench in the last 20-odd minutes.
I think he'd be a great impact player running against tired legs.
Yeah. So start Bobo and Wood and then, yeah. Anyway, I just want to get a win. Clean sheet, couple of goals would be nice. So that's my prediction for the score, 2-0.
3-1 Sydney.
2-1 loss.
Fuck.
Wow.
Optimism.
I'm going to cry, I think.
That's the way we're playing.
Shit.
Cry.
To Melbourne, duh.
Oh shit!
You guys suck.
I've missed you, James. That's pretty much all we've got in public, I think, for this week of Sky Blue Stories. Yeah. I think stick around. We're going to chuck the Nat Tobin interview on the end of this.
And wasn't she delightful?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And thanks to some of the other girls for helping us out with that interview. We're joined tonight on Sky Blue Stories by a young lady that's been with the club for nearly 8 years already at the tender young age of 24 years old. Nat Tobin joins us on Sky Blue Stories to share her story and talk a little bit about a very important couple of games coming up for the W League. Nat, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We're super thankful to you for giving up your time it's the match day eve of the last game of the season against the Melbourne Victory, and it's a big one.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe we're kind of already hitting the end of the season. But yeah, tomorrow is a huge game. It's essentially playing for the premiership. So yeah, it'll be a massive game for us, and I don't think anyone anticipated that it would be a premiership do or die match, I suppose. So yeah, it's a very exciting eve of football.
Definitely. How are the girls feeling and yourself? Feeling confident?
Yeah, we're definitely feeling confident. I think, you know, like we've come off a draw and a loss, but, you know, we're a very resilient team and we're a very close-knit bunch of girls. So we're feeling confident and very excited going into the final game.
Fantastic. Well, we're gonna go into a little bit about what obviously podcast being called Sky Blue Stories. We're gonna go into the Nat Tobin story a little bit. This year, you should move into the top 10 appearances list in the W League for us of all time. And I mean, 8 years ago, a little cameo in the grand final, Nat, but an appearance nonetheless. With an absolutely stacked Sydney FC W League team back then. What are your memories of that appearance? I mean, I think you were, just over 16 years old at the time.
Yeah, I just turned 16 and I had been injured for the whole season with a stress fracture, and I'd just come back in time for the final series. And I was lucky enough to make my debut in the grand final. Obviously, I was very grateful to Stadge for allowing me that opportunity. But yeah, I was very excited as a 16-year-old. It was incredible. I had there was Kaya, Simon, Lana Kennedy, Sam Kerr, Caitlin Ford in the team. All my school friends watched it, my parents. my whole family watched it. And I just remember being so nervous, and I was playing right wing, which, you know, I play a fair few positions, but the last position I play is a winger. So I just remember running on the field and just, you know, having absolutely no method to the madness. But, it was fun, and couldn't enjoy the celebrations afterward either because I was only 16. But, you know, it was like a bit of an adrenaline rush.
Brilliant.
And yeah, it was great.
It was a fantastic, fantastic lineup that that the girls had that day. Now you mentioned Alan Stajic there. Take us back a little bit before that match. How did you come to be a Sydney FC player? How did that all come about? What's your Sky Blue story there?
Yeah, so I played in the institute programs as a junior. I think I did 2 years, and that's when NSWIS was the big thing at that time, where, you know, it was an all-age program, so the best in the state played for NSWIS. And Stadge would sometimes come along to those sessions, and he'd come along to the junior state championships, and he'd watch. And I guess I got selected in those state championships and institute program to play for NSWIS, mm-hmm. where, yeah, obviously Stadge was the coach. At the time, I was also being the Sydney FC W League coach. I joined NSWIS, and then from there, NSWIS was predominantly the pathway to go into Sydney FC. So I, in the winter season, played for NSWIS, and in the summer I would train on with Sydney. And I'd been training on with Sydney since I was 13. I remember having my 14th birthday at a session. And yeah, so I've been there for a fair while now, but yeah, that was predominantly the pathway. And so it's almost been 10 years that I've been at the club, or at least involved with the club.
That's incredible. There's not many players that say that they had their 14th birthday at a football club.
Was there cake?
I don't think so. I was so quiet. I just sat in the background, and I don't even think I told anyone it was my birthday, to be honest.
was it always going to be football for you, Nat, growing up? You mentioned that, you know, the Institute of Sport. Did you try a hand at other sports? Were you good at cricket or anything else?
I did play cricket, but only for 1 year. I didn't really like it. I actually used to be quite good at athletics. I was quite a fast runner back in the day. Ooh. And yeah, so at one point I was tossing up between athletics and soccer. Ooh. And I'm very glad I chose soccer, because I lost a lot of speed coming into my teenage years. Power. I'm very grateful I chose soccer over athletics. I always enjoyed other social sports like touch football and whatnot, but never played it seriously. It was always predominantly soccer that I did.
Yeah, it's one of the questions the boys and I ask a lot of our guests, that question, because being an Aussie and growing up in an Aussie, you know, neighborhood and whatever else, I guess everyone tends to try their hand at different things. So it's always interesting to hear what sports, you know, professional sports men and women are good at as well. Nat, we've got a few quick fire ones to keep the ball rolling. Again, this is one we generally ask this question and say, you know, is it the Big Blue or is it a Sydney Derby that it means more to the players? But Teresa Polias actually pointed out to us that, you know, her biggest rival for her was Brisbane Roar, I think, and Melbourne City, given the history, the recent history between our club and theirs. Who do you enjoy beating the most?
I think for me, it's kind of been Wanderers. I believe Wanderers came in to the W League the second or third season I was playing. So it's always been Wanderers. Teresa and I were actually having this conversation the other day, and she still says Brisbane. I wasn't really in, I guess, playing in the era where Brisbane was the big rivalry. There were definitely some tensions between Sydney and Brisbane back in the day. And I think like Sydney and Brisbane used to be stacked with Matildas, both of them. So that's how that rivalry started. But ever since I started playing, it hasn't really been there as much. So I would definitely say, yeah, Wanderers. And probably Melbourne City now a little bit too, just based on the rivalry of the previous few years, usually being in Melbourne and Sydney.
Very different year for them this year.
Sorry?
A very different year for them this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Results.
Yeah, no one really expected that, I think.
Now, as you mentioned, you had your 14th birthday at the club, so you've been around for 4 or 5 years now. I was going to say quite a while, and then I
just went, a spring chicken, exactly.
All that speed still going. What's your favourite moment with the club? You've had a couple. What's one that stands out for you?
I think definitely my debut in a grand final that stands out. It doesn't seem that long ago, but I guess it is now. Playing in a grand final down at Amy Park, I think that was around 2016, 2017-ish. That was like the first grand final that I started, and I was up against Lisa Devanna, and I remember just being so overwhelmed.
You'll smash it tomorrow night, don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, fingers crossed. I hope so. I don't want to speak too soon.
Was that final that diving header from Sam Kerr? Was that one of those few?
That was the grand final where I debuted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the one down at Amy Park, we actually ended up losing, but I guess it was pretty significant in my career that, you know, I kind of cemented a bit more of a starting spot that year and became a regular player in comparison to previous years when I'd kind of been on the fringes a little bit.
Yeah, nice. So who's the funniest player in the squad?
I guess it depends who you ask, doesn't it? I think like Princess is really funny. Her humor is like quite dry. She's like drops little comments here and there. I find her hilarious. And Mackenzie Hawksby is also really funny. They're both two of my best friends. So I guess I'm pretty biased and they crack me up.
Very good. And who's the biggest pest? Who's the most annoying? The person that stands out as always gets joy in giving someone a bit of a niggle.
To be honest, I think this is the most recent one. Tash Pryor, I reckon, will be the biggest pest. I've known Tash for like years now, but she's come in and she's fitted in the team so well, but she just is annoying. Like she'll start drinking her. What was that? Sorry?
She only just showed up the other week. So she's really picking up a lost time.
Yeah, honestly. She's been great value, but yeah, she'll like start drinking her water and then like, you know, spit it out in your direction and, it's just annoying, but she's hilarious.
And now that I've got a few fan questions here, you know, we put it out to some of our socials and whatnot and so bear with some of the questions, but here's our first question from one of the fans, probably a tragic fan. Drew, you're the queen of 5v5s and have you patented the Tobin twist yet?
Who sent this in?
I wanted to remain anonymous.
I love 5v5s. Like there's certain sessions where, well, we do them predominantly like most sessions. But I need to leave for work and like it'll be hitting 7:50 and Auntie's like, oh no, nah, you can go early, like go to work. And I'm like, no, I'm staying for 5v5s. Like I'll be late to work. And the Tobin twist.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. That came out like a couple of seasons. That came out a couple of seasons ago in NPL and I didn't really like consider myself much of a, you know, fancy footwork kind of player. And I just started doing the like, who did it? Is it Maradona? Yeah, the Maradona spin. Yeah. And I just started like getting all this confidence and I used to bring it out every game and Prinny was in my team at the at that time.
Wireless.
And Prinny named it the Tobin twist. So, yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Another fan question. It's a little bit questionable, but as you're pushing 30 and one of the more senior members of the team, how does it feel to be a little bit older than everyone else? That comes from another Sydney tragic fan.
Anonymous thought.
Another anonymous one. She wants to remain anonymous.
Yeah, that is definitely Mackenzie.
I can either confirm or deny that.
She is such a pest. You know what? I'm renaming the biggest pest in the team.
Couple
to Mackenzie. Yeah. I would like to say I'm still 6 years old 30. Yeah. What was the question again? I just got hung up on being called 30.
How does it feel to be a little bit older than everyone else?
You're about in reality, aren't you, Nat? You're about a year older than some other girls. Is that where that that question comes from?
Well, I'm
24.
Yeah. Well, essentially, so like, I guess the group that I've always kind of hung out within the team, not that there's cliques, but it's just like my close friends in the team for the last 3 years has been Remy, Mackenzie, and Prinny, and they're all 21. And yeah, they just say I'm like 30 because I'm like 3 years older than them all.
Immature, really.
Yeah.
Well, you're the mother hen. You and
I am. I am, and that's what they say. Like, I'm always the first one to leave on a night out and whatnot. So, yeah, they keep me young.
And another fan question.
Last fan question, this one.
Is it true you fake injuries / being winded just to gain an advantage in school goals?
This is actually, yeah. Look.
You can talk. No one listens to our podcast. You can be honest.
I got winded, but the ball fell to me. And as I said, 5v5s, I take them very seriously. And the ball fell to me and I just saw the goal and I took on a couple of players and then I scored and I won 5v5s. And yeah, like, you can't not take that opportunity. I'll push through my my injuries to get there.
I feel like some people might be a bit dirty about that still. Mm. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, it comes up like every session.
fantastic. They were great questions. Thank you to whoever sent those.
Thanks
in.
To those fans.
Yeah, definitely.
A bit of bitterness.
I wonder who that was.
Now, you mentioned Lisa Devanna before. Who's the toughest player you've played against, you've faced up against whilst at the club?
I definitely have that ingrained in my mind, versus Lisa Devanna when I was like 19. That was tough. Jess Fishlock is an amazing player and she played for City for a few years there. She was always really difficult to mark, and I guess most recently playing down in Canberra against Michelle Heyman. Mm-hmm. You know, she is quiet most of the game, but then she just makes these darting runs, and as a centre back you have to be switched on the whole game, which is more so mentally exhausting than physically. So I guess most recently has been Michelle Heyman.
Nice. And we've seen recently you've shared your story of juggling full-time work with full-time football. Can you share with us and some of the listeners the trials and tribulations of you and your fellow female footballers having to do this?
Yeah, I guess. Yes, it's been quite difficult. It's my first year juggling it. Previously, when I was at uni, I was working shift work and doing uni. So that was tough, but I had more off time, I think. Teresa has done it for so many years now, and I take my hat off to her. Like, she is incredible. I guess it's tough. And, you know, it does teach you good time management skills and organisation skills and, as a female footballer, you just can't do just football. Like, you can't earn a living off that. With Sydney house prices at the moment, if you want to buy a house, you have to work as well as play.
Absolutely. And that was a really, really great story that the World Game did with you a couple of weeks ago. Nat, was it John Baldock? Was that the journal?
I'm not forgetting, Nat,
you had that, you took that year away from football and you had that break.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and how refreshing that would have been. And maybe that, did that give you a little bit more fire in the belly to come back or you enjoyed that? Could you see yourself doing that again?
Yeah. I really enjoyed that time off. I think I was getting to a point where I just kind of was burning out. Like, as I said, I've been training on since I was 13, so I never really had a break. So having that break was really nice. And yeah, I guess it did give a little bit more fire in the belly, and I guess it also let me figure out what was important and what wasn't. I figured out how important it is to have football and, you know, a balance in your life. And, football is you get such a social aspect as well from it. So it's really nice just rocking up, and all my best friends are at training as well. whilst also, you know, playing a competitive sport. And yeah, I guess I'm a competitive person.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned all your besties at the club. It's really great to, as fans, you know, it's brilliant to see you girls just, you know, absolutely hanging shit on each other, basically on Instagram all the time.
The pests and the terrible fan questions.
And the A-League boys are the same. The A-League boys are the same. You know, it's clear that, you know, we've got a couple of teams where everyone gets along famously. So it's great to see. And I think I've even told someone, it might've been Macca actually online to leave Princess alone, to stop picking on her. But anyway.
They are. We are all actually amazing. Like, we're such a really good group of friends. So, and I think that shows in like the results this season too, because like we are quite an inexperienced group, but everyone just has each other's back and gets along well. So yeah, I think it's definitely a positive that the team gets along.
Yeah, on the theme of juggling life and finding a balance, Nat, we've got a bit of a philosophical question for you, which might be a bit rough at nearly 6:30 on a Tuesday night. but hypothetically, you've been appointed head of the W League. Okay, there's a few years now between now and the 2023 Women's World Cup. What improvements would you like to see?
I think one of the main ones would just be the facilities and the grounds we play at. Like currently we kind of switch between Cromer Park at times and, you know, Kogarah, Leichhardt. And I guess when you compare Cromer Park to Kogarah and Leichhardt, it really doesn't compare. Like those facilities are just amazing. And Cromer is, I guess, a little bit older and a little bit more run down. And whilst we do have a great community aspect there, just the field itself isn't really up to standard. So I would be making sure that, you know, all the grounds and whatnot are up to standard. I'd be obviously improving the pay so that women can work full-time, use football as their full-time job, and they don't have to work as well. Obviously it takes away from the quality of the football if you are managing a 38-hour week as well as trying to play semi-professional football. So yeah, like at times I guess I try not to compare our context with the men's, but at times, you know, I'm rushing from a session that started at 6:30 in the morning to work, and I'm like, I would love to turn up at 9:30 and leave at 3 p.m. from Macquarie Uni.
Some of those videos we've seen online with you girls getting there literally and it's pitch black.
Yeah.
And does Ante and his mates have like the headlights on so you guys can actually see the training field or something? Like,
yeah, well, believe it or not, this morning we actually had lights on, which was cool. But
what a luxury.
It was a luxury, but I mean, it has been worse recently with how daylight savings is going. Like in the middle of the season, it was light by the time we started training. So recently this morning we had lights, but yeah, before that, whilst it's kind of been, you know, nearing the end of summer, it was getting darker and darker, which was, a bit rough.
home and away season or expansion, which one would you prefer to see first, Nat?
I think definitely home and away season. Expansion, I think, would possibly bring down the quality of the league a little bit. But that home and away season would be great. And then, you know, you wouldn't be playing all year round. You'd get a set break in the middle of the season as well. Because at the moment, like, we go straight from W League into NPL and don't really get a break. Like, at the end of NPL, we might get, like, 2 weeks before going back into W League preseason. So, yeah, that would be nice. I'm back at Koalas. I've been there almost as long as I've been at Sydney. So, I don't really like change if you haven't figured that out already.
Christie Park to Tobin Park, something like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Statue.
Start a petition.
So, you're getting a little bit deeper now. Sorry for this cheesy question, but what are your football goals and aspirations? We've got the 2023 World Cup coming up. What are your goals? Obviously, I dare say the rest of the season, win the championship, Make Teresa a very happy captain. And yes. Going forward, what are your hopes and dreams with football?
Yeah, as you said, like I haven't been at Sydney when we've won a premiership. So that is definitely up there. Like the hunger for the premiership is so high. And I think just having been here for so long, like, and not winning it is, yeah, really driving that. Football wise, I think obviously Matilda's is the ultimate goal, but, you know, being realistic, whether or not I can make it or not is, I guess, another question, just because of the commitment I have to put into work. And, you know, I've been in a relationship with my partner for almost 7 years now. And, you know, we're kind of moving on to the next stage of our life as well. And, you know, looking at buying a house and settling down a little bit more. So, yeah, I don't know how much of a hold that.
So adult.
Well, Will's a bit older than me. He's like 29 this year. So I guess that puts a bit of a spin on things as well. But, yeah, like obviously if Matilda's came up, that would be amazing. But, yeah, just whether or not I can do the work to get there, I guess, is the question.
And very recently you became the 9th captain of the women.
Yeah.
Team. How did it feel? And you're 1-for-1. 100% success rate as captain, better than Teresa. How did it feel to throw that armband on and walk out as captain that day?
To be honest, it was like, I'm not one for cheesy stories either. I don't really take things very seriously in life. But it was a moment I had goosebumps and I saw the captain's armband, and it was just amazing because I guess I got time to reflect on, you know, my time at the club and, you know, looking back to when I was 16 or even, you know, 13, 14 training on, like, I saw it as such a massive deal that I was even training on at the club. And just, you know, 13-year-old me looking at 24-year-old me, I think just would have been in disbelief that I captained the club. So, yeah, it was a really, really proud moment, and I think one of the proudest moments I've had so far. And I guess my parents, even, like, they were so proud, and they saw it as such a big deal, and they've been on this journey with me for so long. And I guess now I've been playing soccer for so long, and, you know, it's become more of a routine playing for Sydney than a novelty. You know, they don't come to the games as often just because they're getting a bit older as well and they go away on the weekends, but yeah, they were just so proud of me, and I think that was really nice to see as well.
Absolutely, and well deserved, Nat. You've and I don't like using this word for a young woman like yourself, but very much a stalwart of the club. Well-deserved captain's armband there, and something to keep an eye out for in the future. Although, as we said when we spoke to Teresa, she's got to play for another 10 years, we told her. So,
Don't worry. I've been telling her that as well. I was like, you're not hanging the boots up this year.
Nah, definitely not. And as you said, that Premier's plate is so close, and it would be an absolute shame for you girls to not wrap that up. It's been a fantastic season. And Nat, you've really stepped up and had to play in that center of defense this year for us. I know it's not probably your
a little bit begrudgingly at first, like, aren't they bloody Lizzie, get better for goodness sake. And
it has been like that. I think I've started at center back the last 3 years. Yeah. And every time it's been because, like, another centre back's injured, and it's like, hurry up and get back. Like, I don't want to play.
You've got to get further up the pitch and score some more bangers, like one against the Victory a couple of years ago.
I definitely see myself still as a midfielder, but this year's been the first year where I've kind of settled in at centre back and thought, oh, this isn't actually too bad. And I do enjoy playing centre back now compared to the last two seasons where I was more so, I guess, overwhelmed by it and felt quite uneasy there. Like, I feel comfortable playing centre back now when I know what I'm doing. And I think I've just got positioning right now. Yeah, it comes with it. Like, you can't you can't get better at it unless you have experience, and I've had that experience now, so that's really nice.
That's versatility, Nat, is works in your favor in future national team discussions, and you can get that green and gold shirt back on like you did with the Young Matildas, I think seven years ago now. I was doing my research earlier. Last one before we let you go, enjoy your evening, Nat. How do we approach the game against the Melbourne Victory to make sure that we get the result that we need?
I think just going in with confidence, like we can't go in showing them too much respect. You know, they are coming off a 6-0 win against Perth, but I think, you know, don't let that affect how we're going to play. Mm-hmm. They've got some key plays in there that will be super effective and pretty significant in their style of play. So I guess just containing, you know, Lisa, Kyra. Angie Beard's amazing. I have a lot of respect for her. She's such a good left back, and I think she'll be essential in their defense, and they've got a few internationals as well. But you know, I think just, you know, not harping on our inexperience and really just going in with full of confidence. And I think our team does amazing when we get an early goal, so really pushing for that early goal, and you know, the game will just really open up from there, I think.
Well, they've got nothing to lose in that. If they lose, they'll still stay in third place, so they're just going to throw it all in, which for me, I think that might be an advantage for us, because there'll be a lot of space then for us to transition and move forward and get them on a counter, a little bit of pretty magic.
I agree.
Apart from that.
Pretty loves a good goal at Cromer. Fingers crossed for tomorrow night.
Should be a big crowd. Nat Tobin, look, thanks so much for being so generous with your time. We'd love to get you in one time and probably talk for hours on end. But from myself and the boys here, thanks so much for giving up some of your time, which is, you know, you don't have much spare, as we understand it. So we are appreciative and good luck. All the best tomorrow night.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for having me. That was a lot of fun.